Well, we're at the halfway mark or so through the spring semester for UNC students, as well as one full week into classes being held in person for some students on campus. With the university's revamped coronavirus testing plans for this semester, we now have a lot of data to examine and draw from to see how the virus is affecting the campus community. And a big part of that is the Carolina Together testing program, which is run in part by Dr. Amir Barzin, who joins us on the phone today. He is also the director for the UNC Family Medicine Center, as well as an assistant professor at the university. Dr. Barzin, thanks so much for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So in the fall, we know that UNC had a very different testing plan to what students are going through right now. It was not nearly as rigorous. It was not required for people on campus. There were also more students on campus in the fall, too. In that fall semester, we saw clusters develop very quickly, and then the university had to pivot to remote learning again. As we are now in the middle of this spring semester and there are students back and learning on campus, living on campus, how does the data we see right now compare to what we saw in the fall?
Yeah, I think it's a really excellent question. And I think we have to start with thinking, you know, what's the main difference between when the fall semester started last year and where we are now? I always have to remind myself whenever thinking back, knowing very well from the work that I was doing with UNC Health and helping set up the respiratory diagnostic centers in the area, we were in a very, very different boat come August and September of last year. We were worried about how much PPE we had. We were worried about what the testing supplies were looking like. We were worried about how we could get access to tests. And so the framework for what we had to build a foundation off of was much different in the fall than where we are now. Fortunately, we've kind of ramped up the ability to do larger scale testing. And that's what the Carolina Together testing program has afforded us the ability to do. We wanted to research what other campuses had done across the country that have been able to keep students on campus and how they had been able to keep the spread of the virus down lower. And one of the resounding themes was largely being able to do large scale testing internally and not rely on outsource vendors where test results may be delayed so that we could trace very quickly and efficiently once positives were found. And so I think that that's one of the main differences that we're seeing is that because we are controlling the environment of the way that we're doing our testing, we can quickly get test results that allow us to identify people who are positive to tamper and limit the spread of the virus across the campus, especially in things like a dorm.
And if people look at this now, you'll see on the dashboard much higher numbers, I think it's fair to say, in terms of total cases so far than about this point in the fall semester when a lot more people were moved remotely. But we're seeing lower clusters, which is a big deal. A ton of clusters popped up at the beginning of the fall semester, and that is really what partially led to the shift to remote learning. That is a good thing, right? People might look at that and say, oh my gosh, there are so many more cases reported at UNC campus, but it's also because there's a lot more testing going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And even where we were at the beginning or at the start of this point in the last semester, our caseload is actually much less than where it was before. What we are seeing, though, is exactly what you're talking about. When we're talking about the clusters that are out there on our college footprint right now, we're not talking about 20, 40, 50 infected people living in one defined area. Our cluster counts right now are 8, 4, and 5 at the dorms that were declared clusters. And so it is a much smaller number of total number of cases. And I think largely that has to do with the fact that you had mentioned before, we're at the point right now where we're running about anywhere between 13 to 15,000 tests per week on our asymptomatic population. And again, this is people who don't have symptoms. So this is just routine testing across the board, asymptomatic, run-of-the-mill testing that we're doing. And our positivity rate has been really low with that. It's about, for every test that we're running, about 0.6% comes back positive, which has been really wonderful to see that low rate of transmission. And I do think that has to do with the fact that we developed a really thorough and worked very hard with our campus health partners so that we have adequate tracing and case identification and case investigation to take off as soon as a positive is identified so that we can kind of pull those people who are positive out of circulation from the general community and isolate them quickly so we can limit the spread of the virus.
We're speaking with Dr. Amir Barzin, who heads up the Carolina Together testing program. You can find the full dashboard of student data by going to the Carolina Together website. Now, Dr. Barzin, one thing that people have been monitoring over the last couple weeks, people were concerned about the rushing of Franklin Street that some students did after Carolina beat Duke earlier in February, and they were worried it could be a super spreader event. It got lots of coverage because it was a impromptu mass gathering, and some folks were wearing masks, some folks weren't. But from what we can tell on that Carolina Together dashboard, there hasn't been a massive spike in cases that is easily tied back to that yet. Why might that be? Are there any working theories?
Yeah, it's a really good question, you know, and that's one of the things that I do on a daily basis. I absorb this data whenever I'm not doing my clinical work. I'm trying to be in the lab to make sure that we're looking at the numbers and seeing where we have uptakes. We're working with our partners in the Gilling School of Public Health and our epidemiology experts to see, you know, when we see start seeing climbing cases, what do we do? So your reference to the events of the Duke game and Franklin Street, what we did is we watched very closely around that. And I think one of the keys that we have to remember is you have to remember everything that was leading up to that point. So in the week leading up to that event, we were still doing our asymptomatic testing on a regular and consistent basis. Our likelihood of having transmission happen because of an event like that was lower because we had likely pulled out a lot of people that were positive from the general public in terms of being able to isolate them faster. So you start off with a lower risk, comparatively speaking, to say if we weren't doing that beforehand. And then the second part that's really important is that we continue testing all the way throughout. So even if there was something like that where it did cause an increase in the cases, we were identifying those cases as early as possible and making sure to isolate the people who were positive. So again, I think that the whole thing to consider is it's hard to look at just one picture in time and a snapshot in time. What we're trying to do is put the big global picture together and saying what was started on January 11th, we're continuing without stopping all the way through the end of the semester. And that's letting us identify cases early and often.
We're speaking with Dr. Amir Barzin of UNC Family Medicine Center and one of the leaders behind the Carolina Together testing program. Dr. Barzin, looking ahead a little bit here, we're not entirely sure what the fall is going to be looking like in terms of our country, North Carolina, or even the world, but we do know that there should be significantly more people vaccinated than even now, and that might even include some UNC students who might have also found ways to qualify in groups 1, 2, and now 3 that is eligible in North Carolina. What trends, I guess, in addition to vaccinations, are we seeing across the state and the country that indicate how the university could plan its approach for the fall 2021 semester in regard to limiting COVID-19 spread?
Yeah, that's the big thought on my mind every day is, you know, looking at where we are now, seeing the changes that we had, what do we do going forward, not only for the next week or two, but months, and then, of course, the fall semester. So the vaccination picture is a very important one. With the spread of vaccination being more prevalent in our general community, and like you had mentioned, that does include some potential college students that may be healthcare workers who have received their vaccinations, or others that may come up to the fold as we start widening the boat of people who are eligible for a vaccine. What we're trying to do is adapt to that and model what we think could be potential of having decreased number of caseloads with an increased level of vaccination. So we're working closely with our epi partners to see what does that look like? Is that magic number 50% of people vaccinated on a college campus where maybe asymptomatic testing goes down? Or is that really closer to, if you ask our public health officials across the country, we really do feel that around that 70 to 75% tipping point of people vaccinated is where we gain a lot of the benefit of that herd immunity. And so all of these factors are getting weighed in, and all of these factors are being included into the way we think about the decisions that we're making for not only right now, but what does the summer sessions look like? What does the fall semester look like?
That does make sense. And I imagine that you guys think about this and it is able to scale up a little bit. But as more students are interested in coming back to campus, if they do feel safe enough to do so in the fall and spring, would any part of the Carolina Together testing program have to change with an expanded amount of student population?
So we feel very comfortable with the way that we started was identifying the things that we needed to be able to make us succeed. And part of that is having a high throughput platform in which we were able to perform a large number of tests on a daily basis on our own college campus. We're working very hard in terms of having our lab team work multiple hours in a day to be able to maximize the efficiency there. And even on a week-to-week basis, we're gaining more and more efficiencies to where we can run more and more tests as we need to. So we do have scalability that's there that we would love to be able to resource if needed. We also are very much considering looking at what we can do. And as you had mentioned, the fall semester brings to it, you know, vaccinated populations in April and May. Does that mean that we maybe peel down the asymptomatic testing and scale up the symptomatic testing on a more rigorous basis? And also in the world of COVID, is important to remember, you know, this is a really fast developing world of therapeutics, fast developing world of testing. You know, are there other efficient, more fast, timely tests that we could use, such as regular antigen tests that maybe sometimes get a result within 15 minutes that let us help evaluate the asymptomatic population better? So all of these variables have to get added up to make that perfect equation in terms of trying to figure out what is the best solution going forward.
CarolinaTogether.unc.edu is the website to go to where you can find that dashboard with UNC student COVID-19 data and metrics. Dr. Barzin, we've got to begin to wrap up our conversation, but is there anything else that you think it's important for our audience and the general community to know about the Carolina Together testing program or how things have been going so far this spring semester?
Yeah, I think personally for me, this has been a very rewarding and valuable experience. There's over 1,000 people that have made this come to fruition. I think that we really frequently think, you know, there's a test and a result, but all of the elements that go into getting to that point are quite comprehensive. And this includes a large cohort of students on the UNC campus who are part of the Carolina Student Service Corps for COVID response. And they are volunteering over 10,000 hours already to make their campus and community safer. That was the intent, and that was the goal to start off. We didn't just want the college campus to be safe. I live in Chapel Hill. I want the Chapel Hill community to be safe. I want our neighbors and partners to feel like we're doing the right thing on the university campus. And I hope that that's shown to be evident in what we're doing as a university and as a community. We want to continue the trend that we have, and we want to really make sure that we're giving our all to make sure that everyone is reaping the benefits of having a safer college campus in Chapel Hill and Carrboro community.
Well, Dr. Amir Barzin, thanks so much for taking the time to share these updates, and we appreciate all the work that you're doing.
Anytime. Thanks so much for having me.